Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always available online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Mike Pesca in for Luke Burbank.
And I'm Rachel Martin, sitting in for Allison Stewart.
Lurk, circa 1300, from the Scandinavian lurkin, to hide, to lie hidden, or lurka, to sneak away, a dialect of Swedish. You know what? There are lurkers among us, lurking on the Bryant Park blog, reading through posts.
Listening
to snippets, watching as we enter and exit. But we never hear from them. They never comment in the comments section. They are active but silent members of the Bryant Park Project. And there's nothing wrong with that, according to Virginia Heffernan, who writes the Medium column for the New York Times Magazine. Hey, Virginia.
Hey.
What do we do about these lurkers? Why do some people think they're a problem?
Well, the problem is I am not going to be able to try to help you rid the world of lurkers because I am a lurker.
You admit it.
I have a serious, serious lurking habit. I'm not even going to call it a problem.
Which blogs do you lurk on?
I'm not going to tell you the names of them because I don't want you guys to flood them and, you know, wreck the chemistry of them. Mm-hmm. But I go to television blogs, finance blogs, celebrity gossip blogs, design blogs, blogs about weird health problems that I don't have.
That's always fun.
Matt would love that.
Yeah. Fashion. There's a real estate blog I can't stay away from. I should say they're not exactly blogs, although blogs have great comment sections sometimes, but message boards and forums where people really kind of throw down.
You know, I know someone's listening to this and saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. Well, you're saying you're lurking. Don't you just mean you're reading the blogs? Isn't that essentially what you're saying?
Somehow there is some expectation in our interactive time that if you're reading, you should also be writing. So if you're reading a message board, and you don't contribute anything, you don't give up any information about yourself, or you don't weigh in on other people's problems, that there's something kind of wrong with that. That you should speak up and say you're there, because otherwise people don't know that you're just like a voyeur. You're kind of checking in on their conversation without saying anything.
I guess, although I can't tell you how many times I've been on a blog and people post LOL and I say, oh, thank God they're out there and let us know.
Well, yeah. I mean, how do you know that these people are out there and not chiming in, right? What triggered this whole defense of lurkage?
The column started because I noticed that every now and then, and I'm not sure quite how this happens, but on a message board, someone will have been PM'd, like private messaged, by a user who doesn't want to post publicly, and that has tipped them off to the fact that this person is lurking. They're always reading the message board. And, you know, all kinds of things happen on message boards. There's huge fights. Sometimes there's major misinformation. Sometimes you hear people you know or like getting, you know, their reputation sullied. And so there's a little bit of complicity when you're reading a message board. You know, there's been some pretty dramatic action with real-life consequences on message boards lately. You guys may remember the sock puppet scandals that rock the nation.
A sock puppet is, define that term, please.
Yeah, sock puppets. Well, sock puppets are much worse than lurkers, in my opinion. Sock puppets are aliases used on message boards by people who want to kind of promote themselves or defend themselves. So, you know, I might call myself, like, Objective Observer 149 and go on, you know, the Bryant Park blog and say, Virginia Heffernan was a great guest. She really nailed it. And that is sock
fraud, isn't it? I mean, it's fraud.
Well, it sounds kind of corny, but actually when John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO, used a sock puppet to slam the competition, to slam Wild Oats on a message board and promote his own company, it was kind of like, you know, price fixing, or, you know, it was a, like serious serious violation.
Yeah, and a writer from the LA Times got into trouble by posting under a different name on a board. Although it's weird because the conventions of boards are usually that you invent some weird name. So everyone can invent a weird name, but if you invent a weird name and sort of pursue your interests, and I think more importantly, have a toe in old media, like this LA Times writer, or, you know, are a CEO for a company, there can be consequences.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And Lee Siegel at the New Republic was suspended from his job once when he was writing on his own New Republic blog. He was defending himself under a pseudonym. I mean, it's definitely a dubious crime, but it seems somehow more like a gray area than lurking. Because lurking's my own habit, I have to defend it.
Well, it tells me more about the internet than it does about the people or the expectations of the internet that there would be a negative phrase for this. I mean, probably lurkers need to be rebranded, but that this would be seen as an evil thing. Whereas in real life, if I went to Hyde Park in London and listened to the speeches and said nothing, people would appreciate my presence there. I'm what's called an audience, and there used to be a time when an audience was not only a good thing, but really quite necessary for the media to function.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's not quite clear what people in the media want from readers. I mean, they say in some cases that they want a lot of interaction, but it's also true that you want a big, silent audience. This NEA study of reading that came out in 2004 complained that very few Americans were still reading literature. When I looked closely at the study, the argument really was not that many few Americans were reading, but that few Americans whose job it wasn't to read. So in other words, few Americans who had no stake in reading mm-hmm. were reading. As if there's something important about total amateurs who have no, you know, plan to write poetry or edit poetry or teach poetry, reading poetry. Why is that so important that people who don't contribute or don't participate in literary life read? Somehow the NEA had decided that that was a terrible state of affairs. I'm not sure that's such a bad thing, that it's people who want to write who read. That makes sense to me.
Although it's like the Tinkerbell argument. If people, even the non-poetry writers, stop believing in poetry, then it loses some of its power. If you don't believe in it, then people will die. Tinkerbell will die.
Yeah, I mean, although, do you really think that people who, with no ambition to write poetry, were ever really reading a lot of poetry?
And if they were, I'm sure it was the rhyming kind. No one reads free verse. I think you raised that question. What does the internet or what does a blog really want? Here's a little theory. I'll throw it out. I think that the blogs or the internet portions of old media, they say they want interactivity. Maybe some people in their organization do. They really actually want the appearance of interactivity quite often. But it's the real bloggers who went into it to be a blogger or to have only a website. They're the ones who might get more upset if you're a lurker, because if no one does participate, then the Tinkerbell argument, it will just go away and die.
Well, that's right. I mean, a lot of times the success of a blog is measured in how many comments it gets and how much excitement it stirs up. The problem is that the fantasy, at least in the old media, is that when people start writing in with comments, they're completely measured, scholarly, astute comments about the subject at hand. So, you know, John Edwards' campaign is going well for this reason, or John Edwards' campaign is going poorly for this reason. But as I know from writing for Slate, an online magazine, the comments are much more likely to be, you know, Virginia, does your mother have any children who don't have brain damage? Which was, I think, the first comment I ever got. So if you're ready for if you are asking for comments, you have to be ready for that really kind of hardcore mix it up. Internet-styled exchange.
Yeah, basically, I just put out my opinion, and in 3, 2, 1, I just got compared to Hitler. There it is.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, anyway, Virginia Heffernan, thanks as we ask you questions for actually answering and not just sitting there and lurking.
Yeah, I'll go back to lurking now.
Virginia Heffernan writes the Medium column for the New York Times. Thanks, Virginia.
Thank you.